This is WMUK's Let's Hear It. I'm Kara LaRance with more music of the moment in West Michigan. That's Murray Pariah playing a selection of the Songs Without Words by Felix Mendelssohn. Pianist Murray Pariah performs March 18th in Chenery Auditorium in a concert presented by the Gilmore. The Gilmore's executive director, Dan Gustin, is here to preview Murray Pariah's appearance. Welcome to WMUK.
Thank you, Kara.
This is a pianist who, along with people like Garrick Ohlsson, has been at the forefront of American classical piano virtuosity for many decades now. A really important figure in classical music.
You've said it all.
Do you agree?
I certainly do. He's one of my most favorite pianists, and I heard him very early on in his career, and he was very, very impressive then. He was just a young kid. He was born in Brooklyn, I think, and he's a kid out of Manus College in Marlborough, and he played in Boston when I was a graduate student there, and I was just, I had never heard piano playing on that level before. And he's not only sustained that level, but his artistry, I think, has deepened over the years, as it should, with maturity, right?
One hopes. Yes, indeed. Murray Pariah, did he come from... do you know that he studied with a European master or a, like...
Well, his early training was here, as I said, at Manus and at the Marlborough Festival, where he went for several summers. He was closely identified there. And he worked with Rudolf Serkin, of course, at Marlborough, among others. But his later on, as his career developed, he developed a close relationship with the pianist Vladimir Horowitz. And Horowitz was not a teacher, didn't have students, but he sort of took on the young Murray. And each time that he was in New York, they would get together and have some borscht and whatever. And he would hear him playing and comment on it. And they developed a very close relationship in the late 60s and 70s before Mr. Horowitz died. So I think he looks to him as his pianistic god, if you will.
I can imagine maybe they didn't work on technique and such things.
No, no.
But just knowing the Horowitz approach to music and the way he would interpret things would be of great influence to Murray Pariah.
Yes.
Where do you get a name like Pariah, P-E-R-A-H-I-A?
I don't know for sure, but I think it's of Sephardic Jewish ancestry, maybe dating or somewhere back, dated into the Eastern European population way back. I'll have to ask him when he's here. I don't really know.
With Sephardic Jewish ancestry, you can trace your ancestors a long, long way back.
Yes,
and a strong musical tradition as well.
Right. Well, Mr. Pariah married an English woman, and they have a family, and he's lived most of his career after his life here, his college life here in England. But of course, he travels a good deal and as a performing artist. But he makes his home now in England.
Now he's performed two other times with the Gilmore.
Yes, notably.
And then how far apart have those appearances roughly been?
Oh dear. Well, I know he was here in 2002. Mm-hmm. It was my first festival that I really put together myself. Not by myself, but you know, when I first started here, we were very honored to have him here then. And then he came back in 2008 or 2010, I can't remember which, in this series that we call Piano Masters Series, which are piano recitals by major established artists that are presented in Chenery Auditorium in what we call the off season. It's the non-festival season.
You know, David Baldwin was on the air here on Friday morning to talk about Garrick Olson's recital, and we talked about Murray Pariah as well as Alain Grimaud, and just the fact that during this so-called off year, we have such an incredible, stellar lineup of pianists.
There's some kind of, some kind of cosmic convergence, I think, Cara, going on these 2 months here, because last weekend we heard the great Garrick Olson coming up, Mr. Pariah, and then in late March 28th, we have one of the important, I think Argentinian-born or South American, anyway, born pianist who's here, Arnaldo Cohen, is playing the Tchaikovsky Concerto with the KSO. And then in April, we have one of our young artists, the important young Joseph Moog, coming in our Wellspring series of young artist series, Rising Stars. And then finally, Alain Grimaud is here. It's an incredible month. I don't think there's certainly not another city in North America that could point to a starry list of pianistic performers like this.
Well, any other city would put the word festival in front of this series of performers and have a piano festival. But this is just a terrific series of shows and one that those of us with busy lives just need to make room for to see these performers. Again, Murray Pariah's performance is March 18th, and that is a week from this Wednesday at Chenery Auditorium. There's a pre-concert talk at 7 o'clock.
Yes, William Petty, who is a professor at the University of Michigan, will give the pre-concert talk at 7.
And the music begins at 8 p.m. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. We'll talk about the program in a little while, but let's look at the WMUK record collection here for Murray Pariah and listen to, where does this go back to? About 1985 or so, CBS released this
vintage
this album of Chopin by Murray Pariah. Here's an impromptu in A flat major. There's an example of the Chopin playing of Murray Pariah, the great American pianist who appears at the Gilmore on its Piano Masters series on March 18th, Wednesday night in Chenery Auditorium. We heard the impromptu Opus 29. My guest is Executive Director Dan Gustin, who has known Murray Pariah for many years and had a chance to observe his phenomenal career. Murray Pariah, in his early, what you might say, young firebrand days, really established himself not so much as a flamboyant performer, but as one of the finest interpreters of classic literature.
Yes.
Beethoven, Chopin, the great piano literature that we have. In what other ways would you say he made himself distinctive as well?
Well, flamboyant, as you say, is not really how you'd characterize his playing. It's never showy. It's never virtuosic for virtuoso's sake. You know, it's always about the music and the composer and the era in which it was written. And it's always very, very tasteful. But nonetheless, exciting for that for that reason. You feel like you're looking at a painting that has been recently cleansed, you know, and the grime of the years has sort of been wiped away a little bit. It's a very interesting phenomenon. Of course, the pariah is known today primarily for the classical literature of Haydn, Mozart, Beethoven, Chopin, as you say. But he really, his repertoire, while it doesn't go far into the 20th century for the most part, it's really quite far-ranging and interesting. He's gone through different periods and different cycles in his career so far. One of the most notable is the is his traversal of the Mozart Piano Concerti, all of which he recorded with the English Chamber Orchestra, which he conducted and played. And for me, at least, that was those recordings were the first time I really experienced a musician who played concertos, both conducting and playing, and such a wide-ranging number of concerti. Now it's a more common practice, but when Pariah was doing it, it was something somewhat new, and they're marvelous.
Back when he appeared at the Gilmore, probably in 2009, 2010, mm-hmm. That's when I spoke to Renata Knifick.
Yes.
Prior to his concert. Now, why would I talk to a violin professor about Marie Pariah? Well, she's on the English Chamber Orchestra recordings with Marie as soloist.
Right. She was a member of the English Chamber Orchestra for many years before she came here. So she knew him, got to know him quite well. There's, from my own experience, in my Boston Symphony days, there's no better way to get to know somebody than going out on tour with them and being, in buses and taxis and airplanes and hotels and restaurants and all with them. You see all sides of their personality. So she got to know him quite well.
And I think as she relayed to me, Marie Pariah is one of those artists who believes his public deserves his very, very best preparation and thought. He's not fly by the seat of your pants kind of.
Never.
This is something that has been deeply considered, all of his works.
Right, and he doesn't give that many concerts by some standards. This current tour that he's just beginning right now takes him, I think, to 8 or 9 North American cities. And then that's it. Then he takes some time off, and then he does some work in Europe. So he paces himself in a different way. We're very fortunate because we in Chicago. He's playing at a concert at Orchestra Hall, 2 or 3 days after his appearance here. We're the only cities in the Midwest that he's playing in this year.
Tickets and full details are available right now at thegilmore.org. The office line, 342-1166, if you'd like to talk to a person about this concert. And, let's hear some of the Mozart that I found in our library.
Oh, good.
Here's a movement from the Concerto No. 16 in D major, Marie Pariah at the piano and conducting the English Chamber Orchestra.
Thank you.
From a now classic series of recordings of Mozart Concerti, we heard Murray Pariah and the last movement of the Concerto number 16 in D major, Kirkel 451. My guest is Dan Gustin, executive director of the Gilmore, which will present Murray Pariah in a solo recital at Chenery Auditorium on March 18th, a week from this Wednesday. And tickets are available right now at thegilmore.org. Or you can also look at Hélène Grimaud's concert coming up in April as well. Well, just to sum up, Dan, we've talked about Murray Pariah growing up in Brooklyn, a student of the Manus College, and the early years of mentorship from Vladimir Horowitz. This wonderful project that in the mid-80s was rather rare to see a pianist taking the helm as a conductor and really realizing his vision of the Mozart Concerti. So he's really established himself as a player to contend with. Murray Pariah then continues his career, but in fact, we're rather lucky to have him playing now because in the early 90s, he suffered an injury.
Yes, he did. He cut his finger. He was preparing something in the kitchen and cut his finger. I don't think it was a serious cut. That is, it didn't involve tendons or anything like that. But it was, you know, an infection developed in the finger and somehow spread to his hand, and it became quite serious. And at first, I think his physicians there in England didn't quite know what to do about it. And he went through a period of what must have been despair. Had several operations and on his hand, and many people thought that, well, that's very sad. That's the end of Murray Pariah as a performer. But in fact, he was able to heal, finally. It took several years, and having not used that hand then while this was all going on, he then had to sort of learn to use, not learn all over again how to use it, but to exercise the muscles so that they performed the way his mind and heart told him to do, told them to do. So he was out for several years, but fortunately, he's back in full strength.
When a concert pianist loses the ability to play with one of his hands or both, it's about the most devastating thing that you can come up against. It's not like, oh, well, that was fun. That fun career happened, and now I'm going to do something else.
Right.
It's almost... it's like losing your own arm or leg.
Right.
So he's certainly had a major challenge to overcome with that. And some say his music deepened as well.
Well, he certainly has matured over the years, as I said earlier, and this was bound to have an effect on, in that. I mean, he could have given up. He could have despaired. Instead, he learned from it and moved on. And I think, yes, it has his interpretations and his pianism and his musicianship has deepened as a result of it. One of the things that he did when he was not playing is to go back to the origins of Western keyboard music in the works of Bach, and he's known to be very scholarly in his approach to contrapuntal kind of writing, you know, fugues and such. The music of Bach, which fortunately he's going to bring to his recital here on the 18th. And I think this has informed the rest of his playing and the rest of the repertoire that he has now.
It's sort of he had a total immersion for a while in Bach's writing and scores, and and I'm sure that couldn't help but affect everything else. We have, luckily, Murray Pariah continued to record when he regained the use of his hands, and he's still a Sony Classical artist.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Major releases from Sony Classical, so we have several of them here at WMUK. Again, a reminder, his concert in Kalamazoo to experience a live performance by Murray Pariah is Wednesday, March 18th at 8 p.m. in Chenery Auditorium. I believe this recording of the Goldberg Variations was one of the first things he completed after rehabbing from
Yes, and
surgeries.
I'll never forget when it came out. The critic, who shall remain nameless, but he was in the New York Times, almost faulted it for its perfection. How can you do that?
It's too good.
It's just too perfect. How can it be this good? There must be something wrong.
Let's hear some of it. Tempting to just let Murray Pariah play.
Just let him play.
The entire hour. But we're here, we're also here for a purpose, and that is to let people know that Murray Pariah will perform live in Kalamazoo on March 18th at 8 o'clock in Chenery Auditorium. And now let's have a look at what he will be performing. We've enjoyed some Mozart and Bach here, but his repertoire is going to really show itself on Wednesday night, March 18th.
Well, he's starting, thank goodness, he's starting with a work by Johann Sebastian Bach, one of the French suites. So that will begin the recital on a very, very high note, so to speak. And then he's playing the A-flat sonata by Haydn, one of the later sonatas, piano sonatas, or keyboard sonatas by Haydn. And then before intermission, he'll play one of the middle period Beethoven sonatas, the Les Adieux, Opus 81. Sonata is one of the really great, one of my very favorite Beethoven sonatas.
Wow, so just right there, we go from Bach to Haydn to Beethoven. Nothing really messy and romantic quite yet.
Right. But then after intermission, we get into something a little Sturm und Drang there, in a French manner, with the César Franck prelude, chorale, and fugue, which is the composer's major work for piano, and is a very, very beautiful, elegant piece based on old world models, so to speak, the Haydn and Bach, but with a distinctive French flavor and touch, anticipating Debussy and Ravel, who are yet to come.
Isn't César Franck always a bit of a hard sell? Even from day one, him being a composer who looked to the past during a time of change.
Well, he was a bridge, actually, between he and Fauré, and in many ways were a bridge between the earlier 19th century composers Berlioz accepted, because he's a sui generis, and then the 20th century sort of radicals, as they were thought to be, Debussy in particular, So he has a very important position in French music, and this is, he was an organist, and so he's somewhat better known perhaps for his organ music and for his oratorios, but this is his principal work for piano.
This is not a transcription of an organ piece?
No, not at all.
All right. So a late Romantic, but with great, great Baroque bones to it, the Prelude, Chorale, and Fugue by César Franck, which would probably fascinate someone like Murray Pariah.
Yes.
And the concert continues.
The concert concludes with the first scherzo of Chopin, one of Chopin's most important works, and the first in this series of four pieces that he called scherzos, which date through the 25 years that he was actively writing music, because he died so young. Nobody quite knows why he called them scherzos, sort of like his ballades. Nobody quite knows what that meant, whether they referred to poetry. Some feel that the ballades were based on a poet colleague of his poetry. You know, scherzo means joke. It means something light and fun. But the scherzos of Chopin are anything but that. They're wild, wild pieces. It's a wonderful way to end the concert.
Unexplainable, from going from a jokey little Baroque piece or a Beethoven movement in place of a minuet to scherzo, but yeah.
Newly thought out scherzo.
Well, that is a massive scope for Murray Pariah's recital, going from Bach to Franck to Chopin to Beethoven. These pieces are all important pianistically. You might almost consider it a university course in one night at Chenery Auditorium, 8 p.m. on March 18th. Well, are there any final thoughts you might have about Murray Pariah's appearance here in Kalamazoo?
Don't miss it.
I figured. Three words.
You'll be sorry if you do.
Well, Dan, thank you very, very much for
taking
the time to let our listeners know about Murray Pariah's recital. And we know we're talking to some very interested people here listening to WMUK at this time. The Gilmore can be contacted at thegilmore.org. The tickets are available at 269-387-2300. And I'm going to just take over the rest of the hour and play one of my favorite recordings of Murray Pariah. This was one of the things that re-brought him to my attention after the time he was silent. He came back with some beautiful songs without words of Felix Mendelssohn. Let's listen.